Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Good morning! Well, that was supposed to be one of good morning Vietnam kind of things, but I'm sure that's not quite the way it came off. Good morning, NFL heads, football fans, and sports fanatics. Once again, I am your host, Vinny Moore. Welcome in to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Yes, no long, drawn-out 2-3 minute intro. Would have loved to have had something fun for you. There's just way too much going on in the sports world today. So, without any further ado, how many of you sports fans saw the fight last night? The Mayweather-Ortiz fight. Was that the weirdest, bizarre thing you've seen in a while? All right, we're going to get into it. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the Mayweather-Ortiz fight. We're going to talk about your fantasy football, starting him and sitting him, who we love, who we don't like. We're also going to touch base on your Major League Baseball settings, find out what's going on with the playoffs there. I'm still bashing the NBA. I humbly submit to you. There's nothing to talk about in the world of the NBA. A lot of players have gone overseas to play on that whole thing. Moving along, we'll get into your college football. But first and foremost, who watched the fight last night? All right. In just one round, Floyd Mayweather Jr. got a headbutt, a kiss, and a hug from Victor Ortiz, and then responded with a right hand that ended the bizarre fight early. Mayweather remains unbeaten and did it in an emphatic fashion Saturday night, stopping Ortiz at 2:59 of the fourth round to take a piece of the welterweight's title Ortiz brought into the ring. The end just came just as the two fighters emerged from a break in which Ortiz had embraced Mayweather in the center of the ring. As they broke, Mayweather shot out a left hand and followed it with a right that put Ortiz down in his corner. Ortiz struggled to get up as referee Joe Cortez called an end to the fight. We touched gloves and we're back to fight, and then I threw a left and a right. After the break, Mayweather said, in the ring, and you've got to protect yourself at all times. The round was already controversial as Ortiz appeared to headbutt Mayweather intentionally, leading Cortez to take a point away from him. But after the headbutt, Ortiz went to Mayweather and gave him a kiss in the cheek. Respect. Seconds later, they were in the center of the ring, ready to resume action when the two punches ended it quickly. I took the break by the referee, and I obeyed exactly what I was told, Ortiz said, and then, boom, he blindsided me. Well, I don't know if blindside is the right word. Mayweather was winning the fight through three rounds, dominating with speed and landing good right hands to the head of Ortiz. He won all three rounds on all rings, ringside scorecards, and two of the three rounds on the third. You know, Ortiz picked up the pace in the fourth round, trying to get inside Mayweather's vaunted defense, and on occasion was having some success as the fight kind of moved on. But he did appear to intentionally headbutt Mayweather in what appeared to be some level of frustration as they fought in what would have been Mayweather's corner. There are those who believe it might have been dirty, but if you watch the fight, you can make your own judgments. Mayweather then got into a verbal confrontation with Larry Merchant, the HBO announcer, calling him a name at one point and drawing a pointed response to an 80-year-old broadcaster who simply said he would thrash the boxer if he was 50 years younger. While Ortiz claimed he was caught by the punch that came before Cortez ruled the fighters ready to continue, the referee said Mayweather had simply did nothing wrong. Time was in. The fighter needed to keep his guard up. Mayweather did nothing wrong. Mayweather, a 5-1 favorite in the fight against the champion, 10 years younger, had vowed to go right after Ortiz and give the fans who bought the pay-per-view cards at home an exciting fight. He did deliver that. Ringside punch stats reflected his dominance, showing Mayweather landed 73 of 208 punches to just 26 out of 148 for Ortiz. Mayweather consistently beat Ortiz to the punch, and his experience and his hand speed appeared to truly, truly be the difference. So, I don't know. Did you watch it? Did you not watch it? Were you not interested? You didn't care? Yeah, to each his own. All I know is this. A little bit of hype around this one. It is certainly nice to see boxing get back to some of the love it once used to have back in the day. Of course, I don't know that we'll ever get back to the glory days of Ali Frazier and Ali Foreman, and even during the days of Evander Holyfield with Riddick Bowes and some of the other boxers that were there. And I mean, Lennox Lewis had his few moments in the sun, but you know, certainly not the endearing days that we had back in the days of Ali and Frazier, Ali and Norton, Ali Foreman, when I think we kind of look forward to a lot of these great things in the boxing world. So, but at least for a night, you know, it's nice to see boxing kind of resume its spot and its stage. So, 619-639-4747, 619-639-4747. That's our number to give us a call and get involved. Again, I know the majority of you all will podcast this and play it back, especially that piece on fantasy. That does seem to be by far the hottest thing that's going in our little sports world on the weekends. Many of you who play fantasy football can't wait till we get to sections. We got something special for you this weekend. You know, Matthew Berry, our guy over at ESPN, you know, he's called the talented Mr. Roto, puts out a segment just about every week, starting him and sitting him. And this week, I think he's done something really kind of stellar. He basically calls a section week two players that we love, and I want to share that with all of you that are looking, maybe if you're in points leagues or in leagues that maybe have additional quarterbacks where you've got some flexibility, you're going to love some of these things regarding fantasy football. But that's about another 10 minutes away. So in the meantime, let's change gears real quick, and let's get you caught up on what's going on in Major League Baseball. Okay, here we go again. I got to get my IT guys to refresh these fun things. This is too much fun. Anyway, let's see. Well, let's see what we can do here. Yeah, but dead air. Not going to give my fans dead air. So what do you get? You get the superstar broadcaster coming up with ways to fill up space. That is just too funny. All right, let's get into these things. Let's take a look at the playoff standings. We got some things being clinched around Major League Baseball. So let's get into American League right now. The Yankees, 91-59, 4.5 games up on Boston. I don't know what the magic number is for the Yankees, but I know that that's going to wind up pretty quickly here. Boston's still in the catbird seat, but getting some pressure from Tampa Bay, and now only 3 games back for that wild card spot. Detroit has clinched, for those of you Tiger fans out there. Yeah, you got your little celebration this week. It's all but over and done with. In the American League West, Texas are now up 4.5 games. The Angels have lost the last two, and they're starting to fade. So it looks like you're going to have a Yankees, Red Sox, Tigers, Rangers, four-team quad athlete, if you will, quad run, whatever you want to call that, in the American League. Those are the teams that look like their odds on there. In the National League, the Phillies have finally clinched their division, running away from Atlanta. Milwaukee 6.5 up on the Cardinals, who had been hot, winning 15 of the last 20. Brewers now have turned it around as well, have won the last two. So Brewers look like they're in the catbird seat to win the National League Central. Cardinals, however, putting pressure on Atlanta for that wild card spot. And then, of course, Arizona is 5 games up on the Giants in the National League West. So your wild card standings right now, Boston 3 games up on Tampa Bay, Atlanta 4.5 up on St. Louis in the National League. But don't look now, but the Giants have eked up. They're 5 games out against Atlanta. We've played roughly 152 games, so with about 10 games left to go in the season, it's not etched in stone yet. Certainly Tampa Bay, and I give Tampa Bay a lot of love because, again, when you're literally, 17 games over 500, and you're playing good baseball, and the Red Sox can be a little squirrely sometimes, at least they have been this year. That 3-game lead the Red Sox have over the Rays doesn't give you a lot of confidence. The Rays have been a hot squad lately. And I guess the disappointing side in the American League is that the Angels, who should have been a little better, have suddenly started to fade at the worst possible time. Now, of course, the Angels 5 games behind the Red Sox for that wild card spot with only 10 to go. But again, in the National League, you've got a Braves team sitting in the catbird seat, the Cardinals 4.5 back, and the Giants now just 5 back, and the streak for the Giants is ballooned to 7. So 7 wins can get you in baseball. That can turn things around for you and get you excited in a hurry. So that's your Major League Baseball love at 10:38 for your Sunday week 2 in the National Football League morning. Let's get you caught up on your college football, the top 25 from yesterday. We're just going to run through this and get all that fun stuff knocked out real quick because we got some fantasy football and some NFL to talk about. So, no love for 25, no love for 24. Number 23, TCU takes care of ULM 38-17. Number 23, how is it you have two 23s? That's kind of fun. AP, USA, okay, fine. Texas, 49-20 winner over UCLA. Don't look now, but the University of Illinois, not ranked, takes care of number 22, Arizona State, 17-14. That game played yesterday in exciting fashion at Memorial Stadium, Illinois. And, yes, I'm an Illinois fan, so it's nice to see. Hopefully Illinois will get ranked behind this. Auburn loses to Clemson. Go figure that one. 38-24. Auburn was in control of this game in the first half, and that just got away in a hurry. University of South Florida put 70 on FAMU. 70-17 in that one. Number 19, Baylor, a 48-0 drubbing of SFA. West Virginia, 37-31 over Maryland. Miami drubs Ohio State 24-6. There's some payback there. Sorry, Charles Bush, you had that coming. I've never been a fan of Ohio State football, but I knew there was dirt, so that's just personal. Never mind. Moving on. Number 16, Florida, 33-23 winner over Tennessee in a very entertaining game. Upset of the day, Notre Dame, 31-13 over the 15th-ranked Michigan State Spartans. For some people, they say it wasn't that big of a surprise, but it was for myself. So, Arkansas, 38-28 winner over Troy. Vatech 26-7 over ARST, Arkansas State. Oregon 56-7 drubbing of MOSU. It's always fun to say MOSU. Number 11, Nebraska 51-38 winner over Washington. That was a good game. South Carolina edges out Navy 24-21. Texas A&M 37-7 over Idaho. The number 8, Oklahoma State. Cowboys take care of Tulsa 59-33. Wisconsin continues to roll 49-7 over NIU. Number 6, Stanford, a 37-10 win over Arizona. Boise State takes care of Toledo, 40-15. LSU ekes out the game against Michigan, 19-6. That game was a lot closer than 19-6. Number 2, Alabama, 41-0 win. And Oklahoma, you know, again, in an entertaining game, if you like defense, Oklahoma takes care of Florida State, 23-13. That is your college football top 25 as we roll on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. We'll be back to share a little more with you after these important messages.
So, still deciding between Verizon DSL and Comcast high-speed internet? Well, you should get the whole story.
Yeah, hi, I'd like to know, how fast is Verizon DSL?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On where you live.
On where I live? All right, well, do I pay less if I get a slower connection?
No.
You're kidding me.
Right. Now, let's hear that conversation with Comcast.
Hello, Comcast.
Yeah, hi. I'm curious. How much faster are you than Verizon DSL?
Oh, there's really no comparison, sir. With our 3-meg service, we're up to 3 times faster than Verizon 768K DSL. You see, we're a 100% pure broadband network.
So you guys really are the best.
Absolutely. We're the number one high-speed internet provider in America.
Wow, I almost made the wrong call. But I'm going with Comcast.
If you're looking for the best internet experience, make the right call. Comcast high-speed internet. Nothing else comes close.
Download speed compared to 768K DSL. Upstream limited to 256K. Many factors affect speed and actual speeds may vary. Call Comcast for pricing and service detail.
I want to discuss something important.
Is it about New Orleans football?
You know it. You're listening to the St. Stephen Show with me and St. Bernard.
Well, yeah, who dat?
I have a question about Carolina.
Who dat? Drew Brees!
Oh, yeah.
Stuck in a bad relationship with sports radio? Switch to ESPN Radio for the best sports on the dial.
All right. Who's that?
Dirk Nowitzki.
No, you're good.
Okay.
Who's this?
Terry Stroke?
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports with your host, Vinny Moore, only on Blog Talk Radio. Back at it once again, nothing but hate for that guy is how the heading starts for the talented Mr. Roto Matthew Berry from ESPN. Let's get into this. It's 10:43 for your Sunday morning. I don't know who you're starting and sitting for this week, but fun things to talk about in the world of football. The infectious smiles of Cam Newton after, even though the team lost, you know, the fact is the man performed out of his yin-yang, and there were some stellar things. But now we're into week number two. And I'm not sure where you land on this thing, but here we go. Who do you like if you're on your fantasy squad? You're looking to see it's early in the morning before the Sunday game gets started. What are you going to go? Which way are you going to go? Which players are you going to start? Who are you going to sit? All right. Talented Mr. Rhodes put this piece out. Week two players we love. I just want to share this with you. And for those of you on the bubble, they're going to podcast it before your game starts. God bless you. Here we go. Matthew Stafford, quarterback of the Lions, seventh in the ranking, seventh on average for of the three rankers. Welcome to the bandwagon, guys. All the fellow rankers have Matthew Stafford, if he stays healthy, as a top 10 guy for this week. When your opponent gives up four scores to Ryan Fitzpatrick at home, loses Eric Berry for the year, and then has to come to your house to play, that's what happens right here in the rule book and everything. So if you're a Matthew Stafford guy, Matthew Stafford's on your squad, you should be looking forward to a big-time week. This one kind of pains me, but I'm going to share it anyway because it's Rex Grossman. Rexy is suddenly sexy again, and it's not because he claimed the Redskins will win the NFC East. No, that just makes him look crazy. Look, he started four games for the Redskins, and he's thrown for 300 yards in three of them. Given that the Redskins had the fourth most pass attempts in the NFL last season, I don't think that's a fluke. Nor do I think the Cardinals' defense, which just gave up more than 400 yards to Cam Newton is now on the road, is anything other than a fantasy goodness waiting to happen for Rex owners. So, there's your Rex Grossman love. Ugh. Anyway, I'm not a hater, I promise you. Jay Cutler. All right, let's get to something more important. This is less about support for Jay and more about a disbelief in the Saints' defense. They've given up seven touchdown passes in their last two games, and while I expect the Saints to blitz the hell out of Cutler without Will Smith this game, I expect Cutler to be able to handle and even exploit the pass rush. And for what it's worth, in his past four starts indoors, Cutler has 975 yards passing and 10 touchdowns. There you go, Jay Cutler fans. Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's another one for you. West Coast team traveling east for a 1 o'clock game on a short week. They played the late game Monday night. I don't believe the Bills are as good as they showed us in Kansas City, but I'll tell you something. They're not as far off as you think. So there you go, a little Ryan Fitzpatrick love. From the running back side of things, Tim Hightower. You know the saying, revenge is a dish best served at 69 degrees. That's the expected game temperature for when Hightower faces his former team, which will be focused on stopping the high-flying Rex Grossman. High-flying Rex? I love Cutler. What the hell is wrong with me? Oh, wait. You know I didn't mean for you to actually answer like with a long pause, but okay, fine, we're done. You keep listening to me. I'm moving on. Mike Tolbert, Chargers running back. Told you so. That's all you want to say about that. LeGarrette Blount, the Buccaneers running back. This guy averaged 5.5 yards per carry on 11 for 15 on carries of 11 for 15 last year, and got just five carries in week one's loss. He needs to work to be effective. And what happens when you give a guy only five carries and you lose? You change it up. He'll get the rock this week, and he'll be just fine, keeping the faith in LeGarrette Blount, running back at Tampa Bay. Joseph Addai, what are they going to do? Are they going to let Kerry Collins throw the ball in Indianapolis land against a defense that made Cedric Benson look usable? Exactly. Nice flex play. Anyway, Danny Woodhead of the Patriots, another West Coast defense traveling east. Lost in all the Monday night hoopla about Tom Brady and the yards and Wes Welker and the tight ends is this little but important nugget. The law firm got seven carries, and Woodhead got 14. It's always hard to predict the Patriots will do in any given week since the scheme specifically for an opponent. But given these two offenses, I expect a high-scoring game, and Woodhead, not surprisingly, plays the majority of snaps on passing down. If you're in a deeper league and looking for running backs, I like Danny Woodhead to give a sneaky good game this week. Darren Sproles. The Bears gave up 11 receptions and 105 passing yards to opposing running backs last season, and that was to the Falcons, who don't have a pass catcher and the likes of Sproles out of their backfield. Against Chicago's cover two, and with Marcus Colson and possibly Lance Moore out, I expect a lot of underneath stuff for Sproles. So Darren may get some touches and may be able to do some things, but I don't know. Against that Bears defense, I don't know. We'll see. Miles Austin, both obvious, and Dez Bryant, both obvious names, but I want to put them in because both guys inside the top 10, that's how I believe in the Cowboys offense. They put up big numbers against the Jets, and they'll do it against the 49ers. Of course, the 49ers defense, in my mind, is really underrated. I think they're better than they advertise. We're going to find out later today. Santana Moss, clearly jinxing my Redskins this week. Sorry in advance. we'll see what Moss does. Grossman throws a nice deep ball, so we'll see. Mario Manningham, I don't think Hakeem Nicks plays, and it's that simple. That means Eli's going to be looking for Manningham. Owen Daniels out of the Texans. Don't lose faith after week one. Colts are much better against the tight end than you think. Did you see what tight ends did to Miami Monday night? Yeah, well, of course, that's with Tom Brady. But speaking of tight ends, Rob Gronkowski of the Patriots. Everyone's on Aaron Hernandez, but don't look now. you know, Gronkowski is also a starter. So there you go. That's right. Gronkowski would have had a lot more had it not been for that penalty on Chad Ochocinco that wiped out that 41-yard pass play. Huh. Eh, we'll see what happens. Lance Kendrick, tight end of the Rams. I know. I didn't do you any favors with that call last week. You know, what can I say? Dropped the ball that hit him in the hands, and, you know, had he caught it, well, different outcome, obviously. Expect Sam Bradford to lean on Kendrick in this game, especially considering the also banged-up Giants gave up 126 yards to Fred Davis and Chris Cooley last week. So there you go. Lions defense, when a team gets pushed around by the Bills defense at home, you start the next defense that gets to face them as the road team. It's right there in the rules and everything next to – that's kind of comical. I'm sorry. I'm actually reading that from Rother's thing. Anyway, let's get to the players that we hate. How about that? Players we hate in Week 2, Eli Manning. Looked bad all preseason, looked bad against the Redskins. Probably won't have Hakeem Nixon despite the score. Thought the Rams defense played all right against much more explosive Eagles offense last week. Expecting a lot of running from the Giants in this game, and thankfully none of them from Eli. We don't like Matt Ryan this week, according to Mr. Roto. I know he plays a great at home, but I believe the Eagles secondary, again, without Tony Gonzalez playing in the game, is going to be a difference maker. And think the Falcons try to run the ball a lot to keep Vic off the field as much as possible. Oh, yeah, just a heads up. Vic is making his first start in Atlanta since leaving the Falcons. Whew! Almost went 30 seconds without mentioning that. That was close. We don't like Kyle Orton, according to Mr. Roto. Same reasoning as last week, until I see him put up a good fantasy performance under John Fox. Not trusting him, even in deep leagues. Rather be a week too late than a week too early. Feel that way about pop singers, reality shows, and clearly fashion. Don't like Cedric Benson. Since week 1 in 2010, Benson has averaged 110 yards a game and 4.7 yards per rush against the Browns. And 64 yards a game and 3.3 per carry against every other team. I know Darren McFadden ran all over the Broncos last week, but Cedric Benson is not Darren McFadden. Good point. Jahvid Best. Don't like Jahvid Best this week. I gave him as a low-end flex play this week. My fellow rankers have him as a must-start. Same logic as Orton here. I want to see it. I'm probably too low on him at 28, and we'll raise him a bit in Friday's update, but he won't crack my top 20. There's a lot to like for Best this week. I'm way down on the Chiefs this year. Well, welcome to the party. Don't like James Starks this week. Looked a lot better running back. But I'm not coaching the Packers, and if I did, I would totally ask Motorola to make Cheesehead headset, and ultimately Starks ended up with 12 touches, Ryan Grant with 10, in a shootout with New Orleans. So until proven otherwise, it's still a timeshare on a passing first team like the Packers. Mike Williams, the Bucks will run more this game, and Antoine Winfield will slow down Williams enough that he's not a top 10 guy this week. Don't like Plaxico Burress this week. Don't like Devery Henderson this week. Don't like Mercedes Lewis this week. Don't like the Saints' defense. All right, now let's get to this. In the past two games, they have given up 83 total points. Packers in week 1, Seahawks in the playoffs last year. Yes, they are at home, and yes, it's the turnover-happy Jay Cutler and company coming to town. But they look really unimpressive last week, even with the caveat that it was Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Really unimpressive. Greg Williams will bring a lot of pressure, and if Cutler handles it even slightly, they'll get buried again. And I'll be as a Bears homer, I am not going to kid you. I'm loving that because, again, I want to see my boys win. Anyway, 10:53, fastest 60 minutes in sports. So what have we touched on so far? We've given you your baseball love. We've given you the boxing news. Do we have to talk NHL? All right, fine. All right. Only because you mentioned it. Ladies and gentlemen, the National Hockey League, there's nothing going on. Are we done now? Oh, that was cruel. That wasn't trying to be cruel. There's nothing to talk about. All right, fine. Let's at least give you the headlines, okay? Crosby finally skating. Malkin is ready. Motivated by Yami Yager, takes action for the first time with the Flyers. Ooh, Ginland leaves practice with a back spasm. Sharp hopes to return for the Blackhawks in the opener. Sabres add a retiring Numinum to a coaching staff. What else? Guys, no offense, but I love the NHL, but I love NHL playoff hockey. The season is all a precursor. There's not a lot that really just endears itself during the regular season. I know it's 82 games. There's a lot of fun things going on. If your team gets to the top of that heap and gets to the playoffs, God bless them. We'll visit you in the playoffs. But right now, there's nothing going on. And I'm not even a hockey hater. There's just nothing there. I know it's sad. And I know you can feel my pain. You know, where's my – I need one of those buttons that says we're happy for you. Well, look, we're always happy when it comes down to the National Football League because, again, that is, from my mind, the absolute best time of the year when the National Football League is on. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because of the game, because of the players, the stars, whatever. Yeah, and I'm not hating on let me get into this. I'm not hating on baseball, okay, at all. Because there was a time when, you know, when big market teams did what they did, and, you know, the Oakland A's were fun to watch. They were a good program, and you always want to see the guys with the small budget do well, the Toronto Blue Jays. But those days have seemingly gone by the ways of, you know, fat cats, big money, and whoever can buy a championship buys a championship. Well, uniquely enough, the National Football League doesn't work like that. Any team can be any team on any given Sunday. And they draw us in with these great, even the outside of the lines pieces you watch, even on ESPN, they're just great stories. And you start rooting for guys. And you start rooting for organizations that aren't even in your market. They're not teams you grew up with. You start to fall in love with, you know, the stories of the little boy who had the brain tumor that suddenly gets to be part of NFL Network and visits the Chicago Bears. That's a great story. And the human element of the National Football League beyond the gridiron is just phenomenal. And then you take a look at the God-given talents these guys put on that field on the weekend, on display for us to simply enjoy on the weekends. It's just amazing. And again, that's not to say that, you know, hitting a 98-mile-an-hour fastball out of the ballpark in the World Series is any less exciting. I'm sure the 40,000 people that were at the game and the millions that watched the game on television were just as excited. But in the same vein that a 98-mile-an-hour fastball can be deposited 450 feet away, so can that 99.5-yard pass play from Brady to Wes Welker last week be just as exciting and just as endearing. Again, I felt bad for Benny Sapp on that play because if he makes the tackle, he's probably still on the squad. But he got stiff-armed by a little tiny Wes Welker, and 99.5 yards later, Welker's trotting into the end zone, and Benny Sapp is on his way to the waiver wire. So, but such is the game, and that's the exciting aspects of it. But, you know, I put NFL as the number one product in terms of professional sports. I would have put the NBA as number two after all the momentum they had going out in after last year, especially with the big run by not only the Dallas Mavericks but the success of the Chicago Bulls. Largely disappointed at the issue going on, obviously, right now with owners and players in the NBA world. But they would have been number two, then followed closely even by Major League Baseball and then the National Hockey League. And I got to give some love to NASCAR, and we don't really talk a lot about NASCAR and all these the race car drivers. But if you've ever gone to a NASCAR event, you will find just about 100,000 people every weekend someplace in this world has migrated some way, shape, or form to a field, a fence, a seat, and a Major League NASCAR event. Well, the chase has officially started now. I guess this is our section on NASCAR now. It's at 10:57 for your Sunday morning. Matt Kenseth wins the pole for the first chase race. That's here at Chicago. Again, going to be a fun time for those of you that don't necessarily want to watch your National Football League today. You can get all your updates right there, probably courtesy of some Fox affiliate that will be covering NASCAR or Speed Network. They'll be covering it. But suffice to say, a lot will be going on in the NASCAR world now that the chase has officially begun. Let's see. Kenseth gets the pole. Menard's right next to him. Rose 2, Bush and Newman, followed by Carl Edwards and Brad Keselowski. If you're not a Carl Edwards fan, I don't know what you're smoking. Greg Biffle and Brian Vickers, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Bobby Labonte is number 11. Let's just run through your top 20 positions. Jimmy Johnson is 12. Reagan Smith gets your 13th spot. McMurray, 14. David Reagan, 15. Juan Pablo Montoya, 16. Marcos Ambrose, number 17. A.J. Allmendinger sits in your 18th hole. Dale Earnhardt Jr., and there's the guy sitting there lurking. Number 20, Martin Truex, round out your top 20. Martin Truex, while he may not be part of the chase, that's a guy to me that's just simply underachieved. And again, I don't want to get too much deep off into it because with about 30 minutes left to go in the fastest 60, we certainly want to focus on the football aspect of it. But I'll tell you this. Today's race is going to be a lot of fun. Matt Kenseth, you will not find a lot of guys winning from the pole position, especially here in Chicago. So I look for Carl Edwards and Joey Logano to have some good days today. And, of course, Kurt and Kyle Busch are never out of it. So that's your NASCAR love. I can't believe we just spent 5 minutes on NASCAR, which is great. The because I enjoy NASCAR. I'm one of those homers that will actually sit there and actually watch a NASCAR event and actually get a tremendous amount of pleasure out of NASCAR. So that's it for that. All right, can we get back to football now? I'm sorry. It's like someone gave me a big injection. You know, like drug dealers need whatever they need to get their fix on. I need my National Football League. All right. What do we need to know? What do we need to know in football right now? It's 11 o'clock. Oh, I need to know that I'm up against a break. I am? Well, that's just kind of cruel. Fine. Back in a few minutes, guys. Take care.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Sweet Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
All right, everybody, if this one doesn't get your toes tapping, check your pulse. Maybe this. Here it is, coming to you in living cola. Refreshing Pepsi Cola. From the wonderful folks who put the in cola. I'll be signing off now, but it's my bedtime. I'll catch you on the flip side. Be there.
Hey, fish job.
Remember our wonder years? We began every morning with fresh eyes. Every afternoon promised another adventure. We lived in the moment and made every day matter. Those days might seem long ago, but that sense of wonder can still be found. It still lives in a magical place where the mighty Huron, Superior, and Lake Michigan meet. Our wonder is not lost, but flows strong in the great waters of Michigan's eastern Upper Peninsula. A place of shipwrecks and maritime adventure. A sacred land rich with Native American heritage and man-made marvels. Where quiet forests open under rolling shores. And where we can still see eagles soar over majestic cliffs, rugged shoreline, and hundreds of islands that rise from this freshwater sea. So let's head north to the great waters and discover the wonder that is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Victory is mine. Oh!
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter, here's our spin on...
You play to win the game.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. Then we talk. Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a push down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. We sucked.
You play to win the game. That's pitiful. You don't play to just play it.
Perform like that.
You don't play to win. Okay. You start telling me
we suck.
It doesn't matter. Then we tie.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Okay.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
That's pitiful.
Playoffs?
I just hope we can win a game.
Get off my coach's backs. Get off the player's backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm responsible for the whole thing, okay?
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. You want to crowd them? They crowd their ass. But they are who we thought they were. We let them on the hook.
I told you what I'm going to do now. Now you want to know what I'm going to do. Think I'm contingency of that. I'm contingency of that. Want to know what I'm going to do. Think I'm contingency of that. All of which are hypothetical.
I'm a coach of the team. I was out
who's playing.
I was out who plays. When they play, where they play.
That's why we took the damn field. That's why we took the damn field.
Running back.
You play to win the game.
I want winners.
You don't play to just play.
I want people that want to win. This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we cannot give them the game. Number three,
hello?
We suck,
I tell you the truth.
Right now, that person is not sold out to people.
play to win the game.
Cannot win with them.
Playoffs. Hello?
Cannot coach with them.
That is so much crap.
Can't do it.
You play to win.
You don't know what we're trying to do. You guys don't look at the films. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you never will.
I'm getting on the damn heat with everybody, each and every one of y'all, hammering my tail. I don't coach that way. I don't coach them to do that type of thing.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
I don't coach that way.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
Zero. I don't really care. I gotta tell you the truth.
I know I'm smarter than that.
You play to win the game.
Playoffs?
You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. You're the top. Get out.
Yesterday's yesterday. Today's today. Tomorrow will be tomorrow.
Playoffs?
Thanks, Coach.
Well, only fitting, Phil, that we go to our own pop icon, pop star Warren. Warren, that was a nice job done.
Mr. Porter did an excellent job because there's not too many ways you can make an NFL coach seem interesting.
And as a matter of fact, and your old coach looked pretty good in there as well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
he did. Hey, he's hit.
Yeah, that...
Victory is mine. Oh!
Back at it after that wonderful one. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, the guys over at This Week in NFL over at Showtime. Appreciate that. 11:06. Fast to 60 Minute Sports rolls on. Having way too much fun for week two in the National Football League.
Wake up, Leona. This decrepit Hooverville is infested with something besides idiots.
So true. By the way, Leona is my wife, for those of you who were just, you know, kind of peeping that weren't really sure exactly what the heck was going on. What just happened?
Who the hell do you think you are?
Okay. All right. Gremlins in the board. Guys, sort that out. All right. It's 11:06. We are getting ready for VinPix Week 2. Now, talk about VinPix Week 1. Not a stellar week. 64% on the victory. Again, no one saw what happened last week with Buffalo and Kansas City coming. I humbly submit to you. I did have the Bears over Atlanta. Felt good about that one. I did not see the Ravens punching the crap out of the Steelers in the mouth. That was really kind of a shock and a rude awakening. I will tell you this. As I look down the grand scheme of schedule today, there are some more potential upsets. You know, but upsets now, and I guess in week two, I mean, we're just now starting to get a feel for what we really got in terms of our teams this year. Without OTAs, without much of an offseason, you know, we didn't know exactly what the Colts were going to look like without Peyton. We knew it probably wasn't going to be good, and it was a lot worse than we thought. We didn't know if the Falcons were going to go into Chicago and just blow them out and look like the Falcons of last year, and then we saw that didn't quite work out. And we certainly never saw Buffalo going into Kansas City and slapping a layer of skin off the Chiefs. Did not see that one coming. Didn't see Rex Grossman having a bit of a resurgence with the Redskins and becoming the sexy Rexy, as he was tagged way back in when Lovie Smith was saying Rex is our quarterback back in 06. But again, that's why you play the game. I thought the Titans and Chris Johnson would be a little better than what they were. Of course, it's early and Chris just got his contract. Now they've got to face the Ravens this week, and that's not going to be easy in any shape or form. So I guess that's why we get geeked up, we fire up the grill, we tailgate. Whether you're tailgating outside of a stadium right now, or whether you're tailgating at home, you know, you're getting your grill on, getting ready to go. As we count it down, 619-639-4747, 619-639-4747 for your calls. For those of you who want to chime in and have a perspective before we get into what I always consider the best 5 minutes of the week, which is, of course, is the VinPix. That'll come later on in the show. You know, and again, we can do a bit of a truncated version today, largely because we don't want you guys to, you know, spend too much time with us. You know, you want to get to your local affiliates and get ready for your games. And again, our show actually is going to schedule to run until about 11:30 this morning, but I think we may actually pull back just slightly on that to make sure that you guys get where you need to go. Anything you guys want to talk about? Again, 619-639-4747. Nothing else really to speak on your fantasy. Hopefully you've got your rosters all set and you kind of know exactly what it is you're looking for as you get into your position. Well, tell you what, let's run down the positions for each one and give you the top 10 in each of the position quarter. For those of you still on the bubble, still looking at your rosters, not sure which way to go, Number 10 in the quarterback rank this week, Joe Flacco. 9, Roethlisberger. 8 is Schaub. 7, Stafford. 6 is Romo. 5 is Breeze, for obvious reasons. 4 is Rivers. Mike Vick, number 3. 2 is Brady. Number 1, Aaron Rodgers. And if you look at the matchups, that kind of makes sense. Roethlisberger's playing Seattle. Schaub is playing Miami. Stafford's got Kansas City. Romo's at San Francisco, but he's got weapons. Breeze playing against the Bears in that secondary. The cover two will do some things, but look for Breeze to start dumping that ball off to the short. Look for Ingram maybe to have a decent day today against our beloved. Rivers gets the Patriots, but again, the Patriots, the secondary doesn't scare you. The linebackers don't scare you. I love Ninkovich. You know, he's a local guy, but that linebacker core doesn't scare you. Vic going back to Atlanta, and as the Bears exploited, Atlanta can be beat deep. Brady, again, against San Diego, again, the defense in San Diego is decent. The corners don't scare you. Brady's got a great passing game, a great short game. So, and, of course, number 1, Aaron Rodgers against the Carolina Panthers, who, again, while Carolina may be decent on offense, is giving up quite a bit on the defensive side of the ball. So look for Aaron Rodgers to have some fun there. On the running back side of things, number 10 this week, Maurice Jones-Drew goes up against the Jets. On the road, but yeah, again, the Jets can be suspect to the run. Number 9 this week, Matt Forte, ace of Matt Forte love against the Saints, who, again, the defense is suspect. Number 8, Peyton Hillis against Indianapolis, and right now everyone runs over Indianapolis. Number 7, Michael Turner, Atlanta. Number 6, Rashard Mendenhall, he gets the Seahawks. Jamal Charles, KC, they get Detroit this week. Shaney McCoy, LeSean McCoy gets Atlanta at Atlanta, but LeSean, I didn't know how fast that young man was until I actually got to see him just out and out fly down the field one day. LeSean McCoy is incredibly fast. Darren McFadden, Oakland, they get Buffalo this week. Number 2, Ray Rice, they get Tennessee. And, of course, number 1, just about every weekend, for whatever reason, Minnesota's Adrian Peterson, they get Tampa Bay this week. So that will be fun in and of itself. The wideouts this week. Number 10, Hakeem Nicks, if he plays, will be a nice target. Number 9, Miles Austin. Number 8, Vincent Jackson. They get the Pats. DeSean Jackson, they get Atlanta. Larry Fitzgerald goes up against Washington. Mike Wallace and the Steelers go up against Seattle. Roddy White, they go up against Philly. Greg Jennings goes up against Carolina. Calvin Johnson against Kansas City. And Andre Johnson, number 1, against Miami. I love the Calvin Johnson. I love the Greg Jennings. I actually like the Mike Wallace against Seattle. And yeah, because some of you seem to think I'm hating on Rex Grossman and the Redskins. I like Larry Fitzgerald just about against anybody. So Vincent Jackson should also be a nice play for those of you that got Vincent Jackson going up against New England. Let's take a look at the tight ends, running down your top 10 on that, 11, 12 in your morning. Top 10 tight ends, number 10, Rob Gronkowski. You're going to get two Patriot tight ends in the top 10. When's that ever happened? Number 9, Kellen Winslow, Tampa Bay, he gets Minnesota. Number 9, here's your other one, Aaron Hernandez, he gets San Diego. Number 7, Dallas Clark. Depending on who's throwing to him, he gets Cleveland, and that should actually work well for him. Number 6, Owen Daniels at Houston, he gets Miami. Number 5, Jimmy Graham out of New Orleans, he gets Chicago, and that underneath route will be there probably all day long. Number 4, Vernon Davis, the Niners, he gets Dallas. Number 3, Jermichael Finley, he gets to go up against Carolina today. Number 2, Jason Witten out of Dallas gets to go up against the Niners. And number 1, Antonio Gates, and again, they get to go up against the Patriots. That should be a lot of fun. For those of you that have got kickers you got to concern yourself with, why not? Let's knock them out as well. Top 10 kickers, Baronis, Alex Henry goes to number 9. Number 8, David Akers. 7, John Casey. 6, Sebastian Janikowski. 5, Billy Cundiff. 4, Neil Rackers. 3, Mason Crosby. 2, Josh Brown. Number 1, Steven Gostkowski. And why, and God knows why, Robbie Gould is not in that top 10. It can't certainly be the matchup because Gould has been lights out. Anyways, that's your top 10 in kickers. Moving on to your defenses. Top 10 defenses this week. This may or may not surprise you, but here you go. Number 10, the Texans are getting Miami. I like that one. Number 9, Dallas against the Niners. Got to like that one. If they can get pressure on Alex Smith. Number 8, New Orleans against Chicago. Yeah, not. Not looking for that one. I'm with Matthew Barry on this one. That should be ranked 16th out of the top 10. But anyway, 8 is what it is, so that's where they put them. Number 7 is the Chicago Bears. I don't know if I agree with that one either against Drew Brees and the Saints. Number 6, the Detroit Lions. Number 5, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 4, Green Bay against Carolina. Let's see if they can stop Cam Newton, because if he puts up 400 yards, you're going to be really salty if you started that defense. Number 3, the Baltimore Ravens against Tennessee. I love that one. Number 2, the Jets against Jacksonville. I'm loving that one. And definitely number 1, the Pittsburgh Steelers getting it done, hopefully, against the Seattle Seahawks. 11:14 in your morning. We're going to wind this thing down and get you going with your VIN picks week 2. and then we're going to shut this thing down and let you get on to your local affiliates to get you guys ready for your Sunday. It's 11:15 on Sunday morning. Got nothing but love for you. So all that said, all that's good. Let's rock and roll with this. Well, how do I want to set this up? Let's see. Coming off a less than stellar performance, ladies and gentlemen, let's rock and roll with this week's Vin Picks, Week 2 in your NFL. Week 2 NFL Vin Picks 2011. Here we go. The Saints at the Bears, or vice versa. Bears go to New Orleans. Two big game quarterbacks, a ton of points possible. X factors are Jay Cutler and the Bears' offensive line. Can they keep Drew Brees and the Saints off the field? That is not an indictment of the Bears' defense, which has been great, but rather an honest admission that the Saints' offense can score on anyone. In the dome, I'm still a homer. Give me the Bears in an upset, and I'll take the 6.5 points. The Chiefs at the Lions. Defense, defense, defense. The Chiefs have yet to display a defense. Now that Matthew Stafford and the high-powered Lions are inviting you into the Lions den, good luck, Chief fans. The Lions may rout. Give the 8 points and pray for the nearest Chief fan. The Jags at the Jets. The Jags eked out a win against the depleted Titans squad last week. These are the playoff-ready New York Jets. In New York, the Jags have a decent defense, and Mark Sanchez certainly is prone to keeping the Jags close with a mistake. But in the end, I think the Jets take care of business at home. The Jets by 7. The Raiders at the Bills. Break up the Buffalo Bills. No one saw last week's drubbing of the Chiefs coming. Are they for real? Well, we'll know sometime today. On paper, this should be a Raiders win. However, teams that travel across the country to play early games have struggled. It is a legit trend. That said, give me the Bills, and I'll give the 4 points. Cardinals at Redskins. Rex Grossman looks like the Rex that started off hot for the Bears in the Super Bowl run of 2006. What happened later that season? Coaches had to defend his poor decision-making and surly attitude toward the press. I'm not a Rex hater, but I know what I saw. The Cardinals will win this one and keep the 3.5 points. Ravens at Titans. The Ravens just got done punching the Steelers in the mouth, and now come the lowly Titans. This could get ugly in a hurry. Look for the Ravens to dominate. Ravens by a tutty. Seahawks at Steelers. So I've just got sucker punched by the Ravens, and I'm supposed to be a bad boy on the block. Wait till we get a hold of the Seattle Seahawks. That has to be the way the Steelers feel after last week's beatdown by the Ravens. This game will come down to who is willing to run the ball down the throat of the other. Steelers by 11. Packers at Panthers. Cam Newton sets a record against the Cardinals. A decent defense. Now, at home, here come the defending Super Bowl champs. This could be interesting, but in the end, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have too many weapons. Green Bay by 8. Buccaneers at Vikings. Tampa Bay had chances to beat Detroit last week and let them off the hook. The Vikings won't be so lucky. That said, look for Minnesota's offense to look much better after a less than stellar performance in San Diego last week. In the end, Buccaneers edge out the Vikes by a deuce. Browns at Colts. If I were to tell you this could be the lowest rated game on TV, which, believe me, Browns win the game simply because they can run the football and have a decent defense. Colts are simply lost without Peyton Manning. Browns by 3. Cowboys at 49ers. Tony Romo has got to stop shooting himself in the foot. Against a believing 49er team that is as opportunistic as they come, Romo will need to be sharp. Alex Smith is improving, and the 49ers special teams could loom big in this one. I like the Cowboys, however, but only by a field goal in this one. Texans at Dolphins. Arian Foster is back. The Texans are hot. The Dolphins defense is not playing Brady and the Patriots this weekend. This has the makings of a great football game. In Miami, where the offense is getting better, I'll stick with the Texans, but in a tight one. Texans by 2. Chargers at Patriots. I'd love to say track meet, but we'll just have to wait and see. This could be a long day for both defenses. Or not. As we've seen before on big game stages, defensive plays will make the difference. I'm taking the Patriots here, but only because of the cross-country travel and Tom Brady is at home. Patriots by 5. Bengals at Broncos. This could be fun to watch if you have sleep apnea. The Bengals can run the ball. The Broncos can't decide if Orton hears a who or if he can simply win them a game. Here's a thought. Let them play and watch the Broncos beat the Bengals by 3. How about that? Stupid billboards. Eagles at Falcons. This is the game of the week. The Falcons are coming off an embarrassing game against the Bears, and the Eagles dropped 30 on the Rams minus Steven Jackson. However, this is a Falcons team that is better than they played on opening day. And the Eagles will bring Michael Vick back into Atlanta where it all started. And he's coming as the starter. Once all the hoopla's done, you just got to play ball. I think the Falcons show up and beat the Eagles at home by 3. Rams at Giants. Without Steven Jackson, the Rams aren't the same squad. The Giants were embarrassed last week by the Redskins. The only significance in the game will be the quarterbacks. Which quarterback won't make the mistake, Eli or Sam? Giants by 7 in this one. And that is your Week 2 NFL Ben Picks. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Peace! You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
And now, you contemptible harpy, I shall end your oppressive reign of matriarchal tyranny.
It's the Subway Steak and Cheese Sub, hearty Italian bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on hearty Italian bread, but now with a bit of onion on it, sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steak and cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting to panic here. There's only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos. Sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food, made the way you want it. We've got a sub for that.
I think we're in a computer game, man. What makes you say that? So, I don't know. The bartender speaks nothing but gibberish. And we've been drinking these same beers all night, and they're still full. Yeah, that's awesome.
Build your dream bar at ESPNSportsBar.com.
You are spectacular.
Welcome back in. Welcome back in. You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes of sports. Today, it's not 60 minutes. It's only going to be roughly 52 as we wind it down. I'm going to send you out to your local affiliates, whether you're watching your CBS broadcast, your Fox broadcast. Enjoy your Sunday. Love each other. To my wife, Leona, I love you. To my friends, family, my BFFLs, my BFL wannabes, whatever you may be in this world, I love you. There's nothing that we can do about it. We want to thank all of those of you that participated in the show. Keep the number on hand when you want to chime in, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. We'll see you next week when we do week 3 in this wonderful National Football League. The best 17, 18 weeks of your life, I assure you. God bless you from all of us here in Richland Park, Illinois. This is the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. You all have a great Sunday. See you next week. Peace!